أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. Today I would like to talk about the theme of sports as far as Islam is concerned. It's obvious that when we talk about sports and the activities of that kind, whatever promotes the health of a person, this is encouraged in Islam. Especially when we look at the impact that when a person has a, you know, healthy body, he or she would be able to fulfill their religious duties also in a more easy manner. I remember we had an elderly member of the community who passed away a few years ago, not that far away. And although he was over 80, but I would see him doing his namaz normally, right? Like, you know, most young people. He would not sit in chair. And so I talked to him one day about it. And he said, I was a very avid swimmer. I used to go for swimming every day. And that basically kept his health, you know, up, and he was able to maintain that. And so, it especially when it has this impact in our lives, that is going to make it easy for us. You know, you talk about going for Hajj. The guides will tell you if you are not a good, you know, if you are just sitting on the sofa most of the time, before you go for Hajj, go every day for a long walk. So this, because when you go for there, the issue of tawaf is there, the issue of sa'i is there, many other areas you will have to walk. And so when we talk about, you know, sports activities, whatever, you know, promotes health basically is encouraged in Islam. There is a interesting conversation in Surah Qasas, Surah number 28, where Qarun was a member of Bani Israel, one of the followers of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He became very affluent, rich person. And eventually, of course, you know, it got to his head and he rebelled against Musa alayhi salam. His people tried to counsel him. They don't be arrogant because of your wealth. And one of the things they said to him, and these are the words of his people counseling him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has included that in Surah Qasas, in a way approving the advice that they had given to him. And one of the advice was, seek by means of what Allah has given to you the abode of hereafter. You have been blessed with wealth. Use it for your akhirah. But immediately they also say, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبُكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And do not neglect your portion of Allah's blessing from this dunya. Yes, you use your affluence for akhirah, but the blessings which have been given to you for this dunya also, you know, use it in the right way. Amir al-Mu'minin Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, explains this, you know, statement, لا تنسى نصيبك من الدنيا. He says what it means is that لا تنسى صحتك وقوتك. You know, do not forget your health. When you are healthy, do more. وقوتك, and when you have this physical strength and power. وفراغك, and especially when you have free time. See what you are supposed to do. Don't just waste your time. وشبابك, and when you are young, don't let your youth age just go without any production as far as your dunya and akhirah is concerned. ونشاتك, and especially when you are in an age where you have this enthusiasm to do things, you know, don't let that spirit go, you know, uselessly. وغناك, and also your affluence. Do not let all these things go. أَن تَطْلُبَ بِهِ الْآخِرَةِ. Do not forget to use all these aspects that you have, from your physical health and your free time, as well as your youth. Use that for أَن تَطْلُبَ بِهِ الْآخِرَةِ, to seek your akhirah from your dunya. And this is where we see this balance that we see in the Quran as well as in the sayings of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat. There was a question in the parenting session that we had last night about, you know, how do we divide our time? Of course, every person's situation is different from the other. But a general guidelines that we see from the sayings of the Imams, I like to repeat this in context of even sports. And this is from Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam. Where he says, اجتهدوا في أن يكون زمانكم أربع ساعات. He said, try your best to see that your time is divided into four segments. The literal, translation would be sa'at, 4 hours. It doesn't mean 4 hours, four time segments. Sa'atun li munajatillah. In your daily schedule, always remember that you need to have a time to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is wajib prayers or even, you know, extras. وَسَاعَةٌ لِعَمْرِ الْمَعَاشِ. And there should be a time in your daily schedule for your ma'ash, which means for your livelihood, to seek your livelihood. وَسَاعَةٌ لِمُعَاشَرَةُ الْإِخْوَانِ. And a time for socializing with your brethren in faith. You know, community connections, friendships, these are also very important issues. So you have your ibadat, you have your work, and then we talk about, you know, the social aspect of life. But here, the Imam actually goes a little bit more into details. Which kind of friends should you have? Socializing, in a sense, being in company of those who are your brethren in faith. الثقات الذين يعرفونك عيوبك ويخلصون لكم في الباطن. Those friends of you who are trustworthy, when you do something wrong, they will tell you this is wrong. But in their heart, they are sincere to you. When you are away from that, they don't talk about you. And so that choice of company and socializing, you know, circle is also very important because it has an impact. And you would want those who will be able to actually guide you and help you in moving forward as far as, you know, attaining salvation in the hereafter is concerned. Not those who will even further push you away from Allah, Rasul, and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. So, So a segment of time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for talking to Him in ibadat. 1 second segment of time for livelihood. Third, for the socializing aspect in the community. وَسَاعَةٌ تَخْلَوْنَ فِيهَا لِلَّذَّاتِ مِنْ غَيْرِ مُحَرَّمٍ. And a fourth segment, Imam says that this you should dedicate for your own personal enjoyment and your joy. فِي غَيْرِ مُحَرَّمٍ. Of course, it should be in a halal way and not haram. I paraphrase that as a family time. You know, the fourth segment of your time, this is your family time. And then he says about it, he says, وَبِهَذِهِ السَّاعَةِ تَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى السَّلَاةِ سَاعَاتِ. If you're able to maintain this fourth segment, the family time, you will be able to maintain the other three segments of time. You know, otherwise, even in Musalla, you'll be thinking about, oh, the argument I had today. In business, at workplace, you still worry about, you know, what will happen to me when I go back. You know, all these things, and this is where the Imam is saying that the fourth segment is the most important one. If you're able to maintain that in the right way, you will be okay as far as the other three segments are concerned. Salawat Pranik Bala. Let me give you an example of how we can link the sports activities to our religious values. One day, the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was passing by a group of people, and so he stopped to see what they are doing, and they were actually wrestling. So the Prophet didn't say, oh, this is haram and bid'ah and don't do that. He just, you know, asked them, what is this? And they said, well, the person who can defeat anyone, you know, in this wrestling, we consider him to be the strongest one. And there the Prophet said, أَفَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنُهُ. Should I not identify to you someone who is strongest than the somebody who can put the other fellow down in wrestling? And of course they said, yeah, Ya Rasulullah, yes. And this is where the Prophet says, رَجُلٌ كَلَّمَهُ رَجُلٌ فَكَظِمَ غَيْظُهُ. He says a person said something bad to the other person, shouted to him, was angry or abused or accused him of something. And فَكَظِمَ غَيْظُهُ. And this person became angry because he was being treated unfairly. But he was able to control his anger. وَغَلَبَ شَيْطَانُهُ. And he was able to control his own evil and his inner shaitan. This person is stronger than anyone in this competition. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, you can always move from what you are doing and learn a lesson and take it to a spiritual level, you know, to learn how you should conduct yourself and become a person, a better person. You know, some of the sports actually can even help us in maintaining our religious values. You know, when you talk about this issue, not only of physical fitness and health, but they can also promote very positive goals, like learning how to become a team player. Especially when you are on a soccer field or football field, you know, the conclusion or the end result of the team depends on all of them coordinating and working together. If they go on their own way, you know, they are not going to win. That lesson of working together in coordination, helping one another so that as a team you become the winner, Once you learn it on the field, when you come on the level of the community as volunteer or office bearer or in whatever capacity, if you can bring that spirit of teamwork, you know, this is where you will see that you are taking a sport activity and using it for promoting values within our own faith. Salawat Pandey Parah. Something on the side, it's not really part of the khutbah, but I'll just say it since it's come to my mind. There was a person in the East, one of the orators, not necessarily somebody very learned, but his mind was hyperactive. You know, one day he was talking about cricket game and tried to make it into a Shia game. You know, he was saying, look at the players, the number of players there are. How many? 12? 11? There is one always sitting at the back. He was saying, see, those who are playing in the field are there, but there is one who is already always there sitting in the ghaibat. You know, and so, anyway, that's not part of the khutbah here. Salawat Pandey Parah. And his hyper, you know, mind went even further, but inshallah, for some other time, inshallah. Inna ahsan al-hadith, kitabullah al-aziz, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr, inna al-insana la fi khusr, illa al-lazina amanu wa amilu salihat. وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة وما صرف من ذنوبكم. We also have to realize that these days sports is also emerging as a new religion. In the first khutbah, the emphasis was that you use sports for the sake of your dunya in a positively, as well as to learn things for the akhirah, you know, as far as your physical health is concerned. But also remember that these days, the importance which is given to sports, basically is becoming like the religion. You know, as I said earlier, the stadiums are the places of worship. The players are the gods. And the coach and the managers are the priests of the church. You know, and if you look at even the value which is given to the players in the society is much more than what a nuclear scientist would earn in his lifetime. And that's where you see the change of values in the modern society, especially when it is used, sports is used as a way of promoting values and behavior which would go against the Islamic teachings. You have to be careful about it. Not every, you know, sports activity is haram, as we said earlier. But not everything is halal either. You have to pick and choose, you have to see whether this is the right way of, you know, spending your time or not. Especially if you look at the soccer game on this whole issue of promotion through ads and other things of alcohol, which is part of this society, but it becomes very much tied with these kinds of games. And, we see that in spite of all the level of knowledge, so-called civilized society, you know, the rampage which happens after the end of the game, especially for the fans of those of the team which was the loser there. And this is where you have to realize that, you know, we have to be careful about it. We cannot ignore the negative aspects of the sports world at the moment. Now that it's also becoming a political tool used by the Western powers, you know, to basically push their own social agenda on other cultures and other countries around the world. You're going to play, just go and play in Khuda Hafiz. Nobody invited you to basically push your social agenda. And this is where, you know, look at the attempt of the captains of the soccer teams in Europe who tried to have this armband which would be promoting same-sex relationship in Qatar, which is a predominantly Muslim society. And of course, you know, they were not able to do that, but even the attempt. And then other politicians coming, you know, making comments that, yes, you know, these are the issues we should be promoting, but you're going there for a soccer game, not for your social, you know, agenda there. You know, and this is where we have to realize that this is actually a height of hypocrisy. And I'm not saying that, you know, Qatar or the UAE or Saudi are fair and just in how they treat their workers. But this is nothing new. This was not a new, you know, discovery by a investigative reporting team who had gone and recently found that, oh, that this stadium that they built there was, you know, many, many foreign workers also died because of the way they are kept. But this is nothing new. It is happening in UAE, this is happening in Qatar, this has been happening in Saudi Arabia for decades. And they knew about it. Yet they trade with them, they had good relations with them, they sell arms and ammunitions to them. So this is where you see this, you know, whole hypocrisy of this comes up. And this is where, you know, this is one element which I wanted to highlight so that we can, you know, we should not be blind in what's happening. And yes, there are positive elements in sports, but they are also negative when we, especially when we look at this part of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wisdom to understand what is haq and what is batil and keep us on the right path, inshallah. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى سيدة النساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما حيا صار البدء بالطغيان هادب أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فرو البغض والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل الفرج وسهل مخرجا واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المسترشدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.